Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 welcome everybody to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love easily devolve into BS, which for me and the purposes of why I'm here is bait and switch. And you can apply it any other way you choose, but for my purposes, it's bait and switch, which is to say we often BS people with our grandiose words, our grandiose promises, our grandiose thoughts about how sweet and wonderful they are. But then when they get caught in our trap, then we switch to our real motives. And that, my friends, is not how love works. Love is unconditional, which is to say it doesn't give you bait on the end of the hook, pull you in out of the waters, and then fry you up in the evening meal. No, love shows the complete deference of respect for all people, all places, at all times. So that's why I've been here for 5 years and counting, going forward to a project of making sure that love isn't just some fancy philosophical notion, nor is it some overly simplistic idea of, oh, I just love these dogs, I just love these cats. And of course, you can love a dog and you can love a cat. But listen, love is so much more grand than just the simplicity of loving a pet. There's love that carries us forward as a society. There's love that carries human progress forward beyond using people toward becoming useful for people. So that's what I want to talk to you today, beyond using people to becoming useful. So to get there, I like to start off with a couple of things that we can do to keep me between the white lines of my digital highway here. I like to lead us in Love's Creed, something that I really genuinely embraced for my life, and then I'll lead you in the Lord's Prayer. So Love's Creed, let me give it to you in total. I'll come back, repeat it after me, then I'll give you a moment or two to hear a phrase, and then I'll ask you to repeat after me. Again, it's a creed that I wrote, and I treasure it deeply for my own purposes. I hope you can treasure it as well. Here it is, Love's Creed in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Oof, I do repeat this often, almost every day, to remind myself of my priorities, my goals, my aim, my mission in this life. Am I perfect at it? No, but I am making progress. So I want to invite you to take on Love's Creed. If you'd like a copy of it, you could write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail. I will be delighted to send you a copy. All right, let's repeat it together. I'll give you a phrase and you repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. You see, if we made that the principle of our walk in life, if that became the mantra we all knew to meditate and to contemplate, I promise you, life would change, not only for us individually, but corporately, in communities, and even across an entire culture. If we're alive to love, but we're not alive to BS, we're not alive to bait and switch, we're not alive to push and shove, or we're not alive for making people something we use, but rather we become useful. That's my topic for today. So this creed I offer to you as a world-changing process that starts with you and it starts with me. Well, speaking of a world-changing process, 2,000 years ago, Jesus taught his disciples to pray a prayer that is the most prayed prayer in human history. Everywhere, all over the world, in churches, everywhere, in some form, this prayer is offered as a means. Usually it's the preamble is, let's pray in the prayer with the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. I have learned that this must, for my health and my mental health, my spiritual health, must be a platform of life that goes through my thinking and meditation every day. So I ask you to join me. If you don't know the Lord's Prayer by heart, feel no shame, please. Listen in. Let the words become soaked into your memory. If you do know it, join me. If you don't know it perfectly, that's fine. You're not going to create a lightning storm anywhere. But I would charge you with this idea. Give the Lord's Prayer some kind of daily place in your life. And I promise you, something inside of you is going to adjust. All right? Join me in the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I will give you a peek into what my morning's been like. I've already prayed that prayer for myself and just individually in my car a couple of times. And now as I repeat it over this broadcast, it suddenly grabs me in a whole nother way. So again, it's very personal to me. And when I pray any prayer, something floats through my brain while I'm praying. I used to think that was a distraction, but now I know. Now I know when I'm praying and a thought comes up, I feel clear that God is drifting that little thought through my prayer time so that I would pay attention to that subject, even slightly, so that my prayer gets wrapped around a passing thought. It works for me. I hope that made any sense at all to you. And if it did, practice that. Pay attention to it. Okay, I told you a few moments ago that today in my pilgrimage and marathon, the long, long hike up a mountain of this thing we call love, I told you that I want to discuss how we need to see how people get used instead of we being useful to people. Let me say that a different way. We often look at people and find their talents or gifts being intriguing or interesting to us, and we think, ooh, I could use that in my life. I think I'll draw them into a relationship with me. Now, that's an example of BS, our bait and switch, when we use people rather than show ourselves to be useful to people. When we use people, we're often kind of like a pirate on the sea of human relationships. We're sailing along looking for an opportunity to jump into somebody else's ship of life, and we grab what they're doing and we say, ah, ha, ha, my matey, oh, I don't dare do that. I almost went into a pirate imitation. But we become emotional pirates. That's my point. And as an emotional pirate, we tend to steal people rather than give people a sense of usefulness and show them our usefulness first rather than grabbing what they are to be used for us. When we look at people as useful to us, there is a fine line. And I want to be sure that I clearly define this. When you can see other people's gifts and callings and their abilities as something that is delightfully useful. You can even call it out and say, wow, what a useful talent you have. Wow, what a skill that is. That's beautiful that you're able to, whatever you fill in the blank, that you're able to live out this skill set, this practice that you have. That's fine and good. In fact, it's to be admired when we know how to see how people are gifted. And we can say thank you for it. We can say to them genuinely, I appreciate your gifts. But somewhere in that process, in our culture, we've slipped into away from recognizing useful gifts just as in an unconditional sense. And then we become pirates that jump onto their little ship of life and say, I want to use you. Now, we may not say that. In fact, we won't say that because most people are wise enough to run away. But we come upon somebody's life, seeing their gifts, and we start thinking, I want to use you. I want to put you to task for me. I want to make sure that you can make my life better because I see your gift. I see your talent. Rather than that, love calls us to something so much more profound and powerful. Love calls us to be useful, and that when someone else is drawn to our usefulness, then our gifts can partner potentially. Then someone may offer their usefulness, their fruits, their labors, their talents, their skills. They may offer it and say, I'd love to help you in your project, rather again than us just invading somebody and saying, wow, you have this gift and talent. Hey, I got a project going. I want to get you in on this. I'm convinced that something somewhere along the line in our modern world has become more like that latter illustration where we're scouting the landscape. We're looking out on the horizon. Who's out there that might help me? Rather than saying, who's out there who needs my help? Who is out there that is languishing for lack of assistance and partnership in this life? Who is out there who feels alone and who isn't seen as welcome in our lives or useful in this world? Who's out there that I can come into their life with the simple, unconditional power of love? And with love, recognizing their gifts, not as something to be pirated and used, but with love, see their gifts, see their skills, see their abilities, and speak to it in a grateful way. Calling someone's life useful may very well save their life, because none of us know the battles each of us are going through. None of us knows what that internal dialogue for the next person you see or meet, how their internal dialogue is saying, well, I'm just a maintenance man. I'm just a cafeteria cook. I'm just a, and then you fill in the blank. Maybe your recognition of their skill set in a completely random yet strategic way can say to them, I see you. I see your value. I see your ability to give into this job, this convenience store, this hardware store, whatever it may be, wherever you stand, wherever you may find yourself. I can see how your life brings value to this place of business or business of service or a church or community action program. I see your value. That, my friends, is how love changes the world. Not, I see your value, I want to use you. No. I see your value, full stop. I see your gift, full stop. I see your cheerfulness, full stop. And leaving this unconditional gift of gratitude behind could very well cause someone to rise up and say, I've been noticed. I've been noticed by perhaps a complete stranger. I've been noticed as useful in this world without being subverted into being used by somebody. Some of this topic has come up in my mind many times over the 50 years I was pastoring. When we'd get new families that would come to our church, and perhaps they had, I don't know, I mean, I can't think of a particular skill set, but a skill set of singing or music or arts and crafts, maybe an interest in working with children. And in our meetings away from these people, in our leaders' meetings, we would often say, oh, we could sure use somebody like that in our church. I heard that somewhere many years ago. I heard it in my own ears coming from my own mouth. And then out of my own encouragement, I had other leaders saying something similar. And it just sounded vulgar. It just sounded so greedy and selfish. I plumbed the depth of that, which didn't take long because that's pretty shallow thinking. And I came away with a determination that as a pastor and as a leader among other leaders, that we were going to adjust our sights and we were not going to leap upon somebody with this overeager, we can sure use your talent mentality. Now, we may not say that, but let me tell you, if we're thinking that, it's going to come across like a cannonball shot from a cannon, unspoken, if you will. And it's going to come across as, oh, you're just wanting to use me because you see something of value for your organization. You don't see something of value to me as a human being. Now, there's the critical mass, seeing other people as human beings with gifts that are unique to their experience, unique to their life, and recognizing somebody's value without being weighted as, ooh, what a great talent that is. What an important talent that is. What an influential mind you have, influential leader, whatever it may be. Get away from that, which it may be true, but get away from just being overeager to gobble up somebody's giftedness and see even the smallest of giftedness. The Gospels tell the story of how the disciples were asked to feed the multitudes, and they said, we don't have enough food for everybody, and we don't have enough money to go buy food. And Jesus said, well, let's go around and look and see what we got. And a little lad showed up with a handful of loaves and fish. And the disciples came back with the mentality of, ugh, what is this? This is just so little. Wouldn't you like to be that little guy that offered his loaves and fish and just take a reading, a barometer on his own feelings? He must have felt like, well, I tried. I could hear you all whining and sucking your thumb up to your elbow about, well, we just don't have enough. But I tried. But Jesus took that little handful, I like to call it that little happy meal from this lad, and he blessed it and distributed it, and it fed the multitudes with food left over. And the point was, let's not just see this little lad as a nobody nothing. Let's see this little lad as having a great heart to offer. Let's see the great heart in this lad, not as something to use, but to recognize that this child is offering a usefulness in a very needed project. And let's beware of how we treat that. Let's beware of how we shortchange people, even in their smallest of offer, in the smallest of their offering. I think it's another story just flashed in my brain of the lady at the offering in the synagogue who gave 2 pennies. Everybody else was giving up out of their wealth, so the wealthy person had $1,000 and they gave $100 and they felt pretty proud. But here along came this widow who had 2 cents left, and she gave her 2 cents. And Jesus just stopped the offering and said, whoa, 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 let's take a hard look at this. There's so much given here just because, not because she gave a lot, but because she gave from her heart. So the recognition of that woman's generosity wasn't, oh man, we could sure use a lot of her money. No, it was, wow, look at the greatness of heart we're looking at here. Let us all be encouraged and strengthened to be just like this widow who gave all she had, even though it was just 2 cents. This makes my point about how love is operating in a way that views people outside of the consumer mentality. Viewing people not as projects to fix, manage, control, or projects to be pirated into my project, but to see people in their value, even in the smallest contribution they're making. I stop at a local establishment here almost every day for a cup of coffee. I grab that coffee, and I tend to go to a couple of these places, and I walked into one yesterday, and the same lad who was there the day before was working at the coffee makers, and he was cheerfully doing it. He seemed to be moving with a pretty good clip, and I simply commented, "Hey, I've seen you here 2 days in a row. Good job." And that was it. I could see him turn around and look at me as if to say, "Well, wow, a customer is complimenting me, and they don't even know my name." That's what I'm talking about. Seeing people as useful and not trying to pirate their usefulness for our means, and being useful to people as a gift in our gratitude, as a gift in our recognition. Businesses all over the place give. This employee's worked with us for 10 years. We celebrate their greatness. We celebrate how they've been useful to us. But there's so many other places, and I'm not against that, by the way. I think employees that have been at a job for a good bit of time need to be honored and recognized. I didn't give that as that's a wrong thing to do. But I'm lamenting that in the smaller places of life, that in the smallest places of life, and in the cooperation that people give day in and day out, and day in and day out, and week in and week out, and year in and decade out, in those small places of cooperation and compliance and ability to take a second seat, we don't recognize that, I don't think, as well and as often as we could. But love calls us to something more. Love calls us upward to recognize that the usefulness of other people isn't a product to consume. The usefulness of other people is a gift of their life to all of our lives. They are giving from their resource, like the woman in Jesus' story. Maybe it's the last 2 pennies they've got. And to be ready for us on this side with love motivation, with an empowered love vision, to know that we're surrounded with people like that. Everywhere you go, somebody's giving out of the smallness of their own abilities. Somebody's at their post of command, post of giftedness, and they're simply doing what they simply do every day. And to be aware of that, with love, is what gives people a sense of usefulness. So recognizing our usefulness is seeing the usefulness of others without seeking to pirate their usefulness, to snatch up their usefulness, but to recognize it and to give people everywhere all the time a proud sense of, no matter what my small gift is, it's seen. It's recognized. It is a point of reference for other people to live their lives by. And when we can do that, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we change the world 1 minute at a time. I think it's why we're in the Advent season leading up to Christmas here in 2024 as I'm recording this. I think that's why we need to show a little extra something for our postal delivery people. Put something in the mailbox to say, "Thanks for your service. I know you get paid for it, but beyond the pay, I want you to know you can breathe the air of life a little deeper today because I see how useful you really are. Thank you." whether it's a postal person, maybe even your garbage collector, maybe even the municipal workers that are out there putting up Christmas decorations, for instance, in our cities and communities, whoever it is, wherever they are, making sure you look up at somebody and give them a thumbs up and smile and say, thank you. Wherever you go, looking at a young lad like I did yesterday and say, hey, I've seen you doing this 2 days in a row. Thanks for doing a good job. They're not being paid a huge amount of money. I promise you that. They're living for just the basic paycheck that they're working for. And knowing that they're understood as a useful human being, that's how love works. Love works by being aware, just having the sensibility of awareness. Well, let me take this to a close for today's broadcast and ask you to join me in a couple of practices that'll help you recognize people around you with your act of love. And that is, first of all, to recognize that we need to be slowed down a bit, especially now on Christmas as I'm recording this. Slow it down a little bit and breathe well. On the count of three, I want to ask you to take the deepest breath you can. Hold it down against your belly. Hold that deep breath as much as you physically can for just a few seconds. And then exhale as a practice of how to breathe well all day long. On the count of three. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. Hang on. And exhale. Slow it down, baby. Take a step away from the rush. Take a step away from the stress. Take a step away from push and shove and using people. Breathe well. Breathe whole lungs full. Breathe deeply and breathe slowly. As slow as you dare to give your brain good oxygenation, give your body good cleansing breaths. I promise you, it'll help you live better. Now, the second thing I want to encourage you to do, and that is a practice that I live and I'm known for somewhat in some places, infamously so, and that is to learn how to say the three most magical, charmed, holy words in the human language. And those three words are, I love you. Make eye contact. Make up three distinct words. I love you. Put a bit of a smile on your face. Relax your facial muscles and be connected to somebody somewhere with something that will give them a sense of being useful without being used. Say them with the drink of life and love. And I promise you, as awkward as it may be, you'll make somebody's day. I want you who are listening to hear me say, I love you. It changes the atmosphere. All right, as I'm going off, let me sign off by reminding you the biggest mistake we make is thinking we still have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. And as Mother Teresa said, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. And what Randy Dean wants to tell you is, let's go out there and do something beautiful. Because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. It's time for the people of the beauty of love to rise and shine. Let's give the world the air to breathe that love is the only value worth everything. God bless you and happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.